let's pray and ask the Lord to share his heart with us. Amen. And Lord, you're so good to do that. You want not just to give us words that have no meaning, but words that go directly to our heart, Lord. And you want relationship with us. And so, Father, we just open our ears and our hearts to you right now, Lord, to hear what you'd have to say to your church here in Windsor and beyond, Lord, those who get to hear this. Lord, thank you for your love letter, Lord, that you've sent to us and your great Christmas gift, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, I'm going to read out of Luke 2, and I have the Bible that I had when I was a kid. And I think I read the Luke 2 story out of this at one of those little Christmas programs. I didn't have these things. It's small print. But this is the King James Version, which is just beautiful. Read to you. I think it's up on the screen if you like as well. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was. I often ponder that as that's the greatest thing that happened almost besides the crucifixion of Christ, but the birth of God to earth starts out with the words, and so it was. We should underline that. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I have often tried to put myself in their shoes. Have you tried to do that? Put yourself in Joseph and Mary's sandals to try to figure out what would that have been like for Mary to hear from the angel Gabriel, you're going to have a son, the Son of God. For Joseph, for his fiance to be found pregnant, and she says, well, it's the Son of God. And Joseph would have a dream of an angel telling him, it's okay, this is the Lord. Don't fear. Take Mary as your wife. And she becomes very pregnant, and then all of a sudden you have to travel many miles on foot, the both of you, to Bethlehem for a census to be taxed. Their plans were very much changed, weren't they? All the things that they were thinking of doing as a couple who are going to get married, now things have changed. And then when they get to Bethlehem, they're ready to check in or go to the place where they were going to stay. And this is where I think if I were Joseph in his sandals, I might have failed all the other tests before that. But for sure, this one, when they said, sorry, there's no room for you, that's when I would freak out right there. I'm pretty sure thought, Lord, you gave me a job to do as the husband to make sure to take care of my beloved fiance, my wife to be, and she's carrying this baby, and we have to now go to where the animals are. Lord, somehow I've messed up. We left too late. I forgot to call ahead. It's my fault. I am pretty sure that's what I would have felt. But there Mary takes the first Christmas present ever, wraps him up, puts him in the manger. And there's a knock on the door. Some shepherds come in saying, did you hear? Did you hear the angels singing and declaring he's here? God with man is now residing. I love those words. And if I were Joseph, I would have, I think, sighed and apologized to the Lord. Oh, Lord, you're here. You're in this. They knew right where to find us. I started considering, it's true with all of the biblical characters you can think about, that how God came in and changed their plans. Whatever they were doing, it was a huge change. Abram, I'm moving you to a new land, and I'm going to make you the father of many nations. That was his new name. Abraham means father of many nations. David, watching sheep, slaying lions, writing psalms, doing all these things in the field, but then pulled from there and anointed to be king of Israel. There's a change of plan. Elisha, I like Elisha's story. He's there plowing the field. Elijah comes by and throws his mantle onto Elisha. You are not a farmer anymore, you are a prophet, and the prophet of Israel. Saul, God knocked him right off of his horse. I am Jesus whom you're persecuting, Saul. What do you want me to do? He said. The exact opposite of what you're doing. Not putting Christians in prison, but setting them free, reaching people. And by the way, you're going to prison, Paul. We're going to change your name. Noah, I'm sending you and your family on a cruise. Kind of. A little more to the story. I start getting kind of, my heart kind of beats a little faster, like, oh Lord, you're changing plans left and right, and you're coming down, and whatever they were wanting to do now, that's changed. And it's true in our lives. I know every one of you could come up here and just tell a story in the last week or month or year of, I thought I was doing this, and God said no, and I'm doing something else. And he does that not to just be a control freak, but he does that to change hearts. Not just changing plans, but changing hearts, changing destinies. And in both the positive and, well, the negative too, it would seem. I'm going to share a story. It was Christmas time. Selah was maybe, our daughter was maybe 4 or in that age, and she's 20 now, so it was a couple months before Christmas that Kim had discovered that she was pregnant, and we were excited, and unexpected plans are changing, and she, being the incredible planner and creative person that she is, made these calendars and took pictures of Selah, and these were to give to our family. And on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, when we saw our families down in Southern California, and all the different months, and when it came to a specific month, there was a ultrasound picture and a date circled. When your wife does that kind of planning, I felt pretty useless at that point. But we went ahead and did that. It was a wonderful Christmas, and we handed out those calendars. Our families were really excited, and about Christmas night, Kim started to feel kind of sick. And sure enough, within those next, the next day or so, she knew she was miscarrying. And the wonderful plans, planning for a new baby and all that work, and oh my goodness, it was a sad thing. It's a tragic thing. And so we were at Kim's parents' house there in Tehachapi, and needed to go to the hospital, and really the nearest good hospitals are down in Bakersfield. And Kim's dad said, now make sure you go to this Mercy Hospital, not that Mercy Hospital. And here I was, not being useless for the first time. My dad had given me a brand new GPS for Christmas. Remember when those came out? They were like this big. No, they were put them in your window, and they're plugged in Mercy Hospital. We're good to go. We got down there, and, well, we got to the wrong Mercy Hospital somehow. I think it was my fault. We got there, and it was packed, the ER. This was, I think, within a day or two after Christmas. Packed, and there were nurses and doctors running around, and we thought, well, we're here. It's a long way to the other hospital. It'll be fine. We were there for probably 12 or 14 hours. I don't remember. And Kim was in a lot of discomfort and just sitting in the chairs, and 14 hours of Animal Planet on the TV doesn't help at all. But we could tell there was something happening. It was a little crowded, but there was something going on back there. And at some point, a gentleman sat down in the chairs and looked over and thought, well, golly, he looks a little familiar. But we don't know anybody in Bakersfield that we know of, or very few people, so we just thought he'd just look familiar. After some time, some people walked in the door, and we recognized them. They're the people from Kim's parents' church. Some of the leadership and a few of the people were coming in the doors. They saw this man, looked at him, and then they saw us, looked, and what are you doing here? What are we doing? We had just a couple days before shared Christmas worship at Kim's parents' church. So we kind of had been doing that. So we knew a few people in their church. And so we shared what was going on, and it was amazing. They came in, a few shepherds and some sheep, confirming to us, God knows we're here. God knows what's going on. They prayed with us. We prayed with them. And then we heard the rest of the story. The man that we recognized, well, he was also from the church, and his son, in his 20s or so, had been out on his ATV riding a day or two before, had fallen and hurt himself and told his parents, yeah, I kind of hurt my side, but I think I'm okay, and went home. And on that day, they had called him, couldn't get a hold of him at his house, and went, and he had slipped into unconscious. They airlifted him to the hospital, couldn't figure out what was wrong with him in time. He had ruptured his spleen, didn't know how bad he had hurt himself. And while we were sitting there, that young man died. And so we got to pray with them, with the people for this family. GPS, I call it God's positioning system. He knew. And what that did, we it was a tragedy. And it's one thing when you have a child, this big. It's yet another if you have a child in his or her 20s that you've raised, and now, right during the holidays, to lose that child. And it tempered our grief. Lord, we know that it's not the same thing. It really isn't. He changes plans. And some people would say, why does he do that? Why does he allow those tragic things to happen? Why? I like what Joseph has to say, the Old Testament Joseph, the other dreamer. When he eventually met back with his brothers there in Egypt, they had sold him into slavery 20 years before. And now he meets them again, and Jacob had just died, and they were a little freaked out. Okay, now that dad has died, what's he going to do to us? So they went and tried to please him and make sure he knew that, well, Jacob said we were all forgiven, right? And Joseph said, it's okay. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. What Satan and what this world means for evil, somehow, some way, God flips that on its head, and it's good. Jeremiah puts it this way, speaking from the Spirit, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." NIV says, "I know the plans I have for you." They might be a change of plans from what you thought you were going to do. Well, we might say, I don't want God changing my plans. I got good plans. Just, Lord, God, leave me alone. Let me do my own thing. And unfortunately, if you're in that place, anyone in that place, there is a place where God truly leaves people alone. God is not there. What are the attributes of God? Who is God? God is light. God is love. God is mercy. God is graciousness. God is salvation. God is healing. This place, hell, is devoid of all of that. Why would he do that? Well, God is the perfect gentleman. There in Revelation chapter 3, he is pictured knocking on the door of man's heart. Let me in. Not let me in and blowing the doors off, but would you let me in and let's have a meal together? Let's hang out. Let's fellowship with each other. Being the perfect gentleman, he just won't blow that door down and change your heart and change your mind without your permission. But why? I've been asked, we've all been asked, probably, I just can't accept a God who would send people to hell. I can't accept that. I asked a question of someone who asked that to me. I think the Lord just said, it prompted me, what if God is not so much sending people to hell, but is desperately trying to keep people from hell? What if he would do anything? What if he would give everything? Everything. His life. What if he would do that to keep you from that place where you would be left alone? God's mysterious eternal plan. The plan that didn't change. The plan that couldn't change. There Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if there's any other way, if we can just change this plan a little so I don't have to go to the cross and die and take everyone's sin upon myself and be separated, forsaken by you for the first time in all eternity. Jesus was, if I could say this correctly, Jesus was scared of that. Father, I don't want to be away from you. But not my will, but your will be done, he said. Not my plan or anything I would think of, Jesus said, but Father, you have the grand plan of salvation. That's why we love Christmas. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God became manifest in the flesh. God would do everything for salvation for you and me. And we celebrate that. We were talking, Chris and I think it was last week, about people say, oh, there's all these ancient stories about a virgin birth and saviors and back to Babylon religions, and it's all just the same. No, it's not. Because that wasn't my savior that was born there in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. All those, I don't know what those are about, but I know my savior was born then. That's why I am in love with Christmas. When he came humbly in a manger. Lord, I think it should have been a palace. Nope, I'm coming as a servant of all. Have your plans changed recently? Look for what the Lord might be doing. Pray to the Lord. Lord, I don't understand. And you say, Lord, that you're going to give me the peace that passes all understanding. You're going to bypass my small brain and just give me a peace to know that you are in this. that what you do is for peace, for your glory, for your kingdom. Have your plans changed in the last couple years? COVID? The whole world changed. What do we do? Why does he do this? So that we would trust in him? So that we would live by faith? So that we would have the opportunity to say, Lord, not my will. I don't know what to do, but your will be done. And that we might seek first his kingdom. Amen. And so, Father, you know the plans that you have for us. And the thoughts, and they are of peace and not of evil. Lord, to give us that future and that hope of eternal glory with you. And I would pray that if there's anyone here, Lord, that has not said yes to you, and what's the question? Will you be my bride? Will you allow Jesus to take care of you? Would you allow him to change your plan and change your destiny from being eternally alone to being with him forever? I pray if that's you, I pray that you would just say yes in your heart and come talk to one of us and let's talk. Let's talk about Jesus. You're so good to us, Lord. And I pray that you would show us when you change our plans, Lord, it's because you love us so much and you're interested in what we do every day and you want to be with us. So thank you, Lord. In your name, amen.